morning. This is Glenn, and I'm going to be joined here by Scott in a minute or two, or a second, a few seconds. And I can't do it while the sound music's still up, though, I guess. Well, you're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble and Scott Spears, or Scott Spears and Glenn Coble, whatever you want to, however you want to bill it. Had a great interview with Susan Flannery. I really enjoyed that. I did not watch Bold and Beautiful, but my wife did. And so we'll have something to talk about when I go home for lunch today. We're about 1 second away from talking to Scott, I think. Hey, Scott, are you there? Nope, not there yet. All right, I'm not sure. Scott, are you there? I'm not as sure if I'm supposed to push one or the other of these buttons up here. I just pushed phone button up. I don't know which one I'm supposed to do. I'm going to leave that one up. I'm going to leave them all up, and if he comes on, then I'll know where he is. All right? Anyway, what a chilly morning this morning. I think when I got up with the puppy dog at 7 o'clock, it was 31 degrees, a little bit under freezing. And so, fortunately, I have not planted anything that said I should wait until after the first frost. I think we may have another frost, but I think the last frost of the season is supposed to happen at least by May 10th. So I'm going to keep my eye on my weather on my phone, and hopefully I will not kill anything this year. Got lots of my cold acceptable plants popping up. I've got, what do I have up now? I have onions that have come up. I have, let's see, I have kale. I have Swiss chard. I have beets. I have carrots. I have sugar snap peas. What else? All my weather strong perennial herbs are.
Hey, Glenn.
Up. Hey, you're here.
Yeah, for some reason I was getting feedback, and I thought, oh man, it's going to be week two of technical difficulties, but I think I got it worked out now.
All right, excellent. I didn't know if I was not pushing the right pot up or not, but I put everything down, and you're just normal. So I guess you're on the far right pot, right? On the board?
Yeah, so okay. Am I going up into the green now?
Oh, you're going into the green with no problem at all.
All right. Well, then we should be off and running.
All right. It's good. I didn't get to talk to you last week after my
No, it
trip.
Was a mess last week. Technical difficulties.
It was bad. Yeah.
In that two-hour period. But, you know, that will happen.
Yeah, this is live radio, so things like
it
that do happen.
When it's live, you can't stop the tape.
That's right, you can't. And I did start the tape, so people will be able to listen to this in replay. So, anyway,
all right.
How you doing?
Yes, what do you want to talk about, Glenn?
Well, I'm not quite sure what to talk. I was just telling people about my garden. It's doing very well, even though we've had several days below freezing. But I was happy to see when I came back from California, all these little tops of plants popping up through the soil and doing pretty well. So, and
I heard you mention Susan Flannery.
Yeah, oh, I love that interview. I really enjoyed that. I listened to the last, I'd say, 25 minutes of it, and I really enjoyed it. And So I pulled her up on my phone to see what she looked like, and I recognized her. I wasn't sure I would, because I didn't watch Bold and Beautiful, but my wife watched it every day. She loved Bold and Beautiful, so I'm sure she will know.
So she was coming through loud and clear.
Loud and clear, and I don't know why she doesn't like to do interviews. She's very good at interviews. I would think.
Didn't you find that interesting? Now, I knew she didn't like to do them, but I didn't know that this was the only one.
Yeah. Well, I did like her answer at the end when you asked her, will you promise to come back on? And there was dead air for about 5 seconds. And she said, well,
I did get a maybe.
Well, maybe. Yeah, you did. Oh, me. You should have had her on St. Patty's Day with the name like Flannery.
You know, it's interesting that people like that, she hasn't done an interview in 10 years.
Wow.
And doesn't particularly like doing them. But she's very good at it.
Yeah, she is. Everything she talked about were interesting things. She didn't ramble on about nothing. She talked about things that I'm sure that all of her fans who used to watch Bold and Beautiful, at least, recognized. And she was on several things, so I recognize her from
several. You know, there were a lot of interesting insights in there probably for the first time people have ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good show.
For the fact that she
show.
Doesn't do interviews.
Well, let's hope she'll come back on maybe when she has her... when you're out a year, you know, maybe come back after a year and see how things have changed. So it'd be nice to have her back
well,
on.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Even if she never comes back, we got the one.
Yeah, you got the one. And she admitted that she didn't do them very often.
Didn't do them at all.
Yeah, that's right. That's not very often either.
That was an interesting answer. I knew she didn't do them, but I didn't know she had not done any.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
It was kind of interesting also that she when she went down to Australia, she found out that there were people all over the world that listened to her or watched Bold and Beautiful. So that was kind of interesting. That's kind of like us on the internet when people call or let me know that they were listening from Barcelona, Spain, and other places
well,
like that.
It is interesting because, and I think people say this, or think that I'm saying this, because, you know, I really don't know why they think I'm saying this, but I really do believe that if we ever lost the signal, the 100 streaming watts of power that we do have out of the transmitter, so many people listen to us in different ways.
Yeah,
they don't listen on a radio.
Yeah.
They listen on TuneIn. They listen on the website. And why would we go away? I think the listenership would not change all that much.
Well, yes, our 100 watts of teeth-rattling power doesn't get out too far. I was drove up to Findlay and back this weekend, and I heard us all the way up to about Upper Sandusky, and then it went kaplooey.
Now, if you really wanted to listen to us, though, and you could no longer do it through the radio,
yeah.
Wouldn't you use one of the apps?
Sure, why not? And it's very simple. A lot of people don't understand how simple it truly is. I mean, it's a matter of just clicking a button and you're on. And it doesn't cost anything
well,
either.
We also come through on the Nests and the Google Dots and all those things.
What are those
everybody's
things?
Everybody's got a smartphone, and the app is free.
What are those things you just mentioned? I'm too old to know what they are.
You've got apps, Glenn. I know you've got apps.
Oh, I've got apps, but you said something about the dots, didn't you? Or was that apps?
Oh, the dots. You know, they're like the Nests, the thing, Alexas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. And you can just ask it to open up WWGH and it'll come on?
It certainly will.
That's fantastic. I love it. My daughter can do that then out in California.
Who needs a radio?
Yeah, who needs a radio? Stupid radios. They just get in the way.
No, but I like having the over the air because it's kind of quaint and it's the way people have always done it. But to be honest with you, I really don't know that it would affect us a whole lot. I think the people still listening by radio would just start to listen another way.
Well, I do have a few friends that have listened on their radios that say that they don't know how to use computers. Now, I am 75 years old, and I know a lot of people that are rather long in tooth, and some of us are a little afraid to use technology. Now, I'm not, but I do have friends that are afraid to use it, so there'll probably be but it doesn't take very long to learn how to do it. Almost everybody has a computer anymore. And that you can get right on it through a computer. So I hope they would listen. Are you still there?
I'm here.
No,
I'm here. No, I'm agreeing. It happens so rarely that I would agree with you.
Yes, it doesn't happen that often. That's why you were laughing, huh?
No. I was thinking about people, because I do hear this sometimes, that there are people who just could not listen another way. And I think, because I've experienced this, when somebody tells me that face-to-face, I say, well, do you have a smartphone? Do you have an internet? Do you have a laptop? Do you have a tablet? Do you have a Nest Dot Alexa? I've never ran into anybody who didn't have any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can listen to it absolutely free on any of those. Now, sometimes you have to show people, but... you know, it used to be when radios first came out, I know people from the radio station who had to go to people's houses and help them tune the radio in.
Yeah, and it wasn't that easy at points.
No.
I remember so, having
to... No, I don't know. I'm kind of split on that. Now, one thing I want to talk about...
Sure.
And I haven't talked to you about this next week, but we are going to be doing election coverage on Tuesday.
Okay.
It'll be short election coverage because it's just a primary. But I think we should do it because we've got this county commissioner race here in Marion,
sure.
this three-way primary. And we've also got a sitting governor who's being primaried for the first time in 130 years. So we'll come on the air probably about 10 after 7, and we'll stay on through. I think it'll be over by – primaries do not have big turnouts.
Right.
So
maybe 10%, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll be able to come in and maybe you'll be able to go down to the Board of Elections with Linda and help her get the vote count done.
She scared it out of them one year.
Well, yeah,
they weren't going to give it.
Well, I mean, there's no point in going to party headquarters for a primary because they don't really have parties. And I don't think the Democrats in Marion have any primaries going on. So if we just send maybe two people down to the Board of Elections, which is the important thing, and get a couple people in the studio, I think we'll be done in 2 hours or less, and have a good broadcast.
I may have to give you a maybe on that, because I will be going through some interesting medical stuff that day, and I'm not sure how I will feel. So I'm going to give you a maybe.
Well, that's if you can't do it, we'll send Terry down there with us.
Okay. All right, yeah, Terry will strong-arm him.
That's right. Well, let's talk about this this primary, which is interesting, because basically it's one local and the governor's race.
Right.
The local's interesting. What do you make of the Stuyvesant, Dr. Davis, Jason Schauber, Republican primary for the county commissioner's seat?
Well, I listened to, I don't think you did Stuyvesant. Did you interview Stuyvesant?
No, but I have asked him.
Okay.
I've asked him.
Now, the other two you have interviewed, and I've listened to them. I think they're all pretty level-headed guys. I think that Stuyvesant's got the inside track just because he's the incumbent, and they always have the inside track. I didn't hear anything from either of the other two that I thought, oh, that'll blow Stuyvesant right out of the water. So I'm going to guess that Stuyvesant's probably the odds-on favorite there. Now, we do have some Democratic races, but not local. And my wife and I got our ballots yesterday, and we filled them out. We're going to take them in today. But I was surprised that one of my interviews that I did a couple of times that last year, who's running for what's he running for? Is it senator or is it congressman? Anyway, he's running against somebody that I didn't even know he was running against anybody. Now he would be running for Congress, because he would be facing Jim Jordan, who is running into some real headwinds right now with all the stuff from the January 6th commission going on. But anyway, I was interested to see that he does have a somebody running against him. Nan Whaley also has someone running against her, but also, again, not very well known. So it's, you know, the Democratic side is kind of the knowns against the unknowns, and the unknowns usually lose in those cases.
Well, here's my handicap on the whole thing.
All right.
To be honest with you, is that in this county commissioner race, I think it's on the front page of the paper today, early voting turnout is low.
Yeah.
So if Schauber or Davis is motivating people to go to the poll,
yeah,
just to go to the poll, and not a lot, if under 1,000 people turn out, Stuyvesant could be defeated.
Yeah, oh, that's true in any political race. If it's a very low turnout, you just flip a coin. Yeah.
And I've seen, and maybe it's just where I drive, I've seen more Davis signs than any signs.
Yeah, I have too, now that you mention that. Yeah.
I'm not sure that Stuyvesant is the favorite. I honestly couldn't tell you who the favorite is, but I don't know that he is. Usually the incumbent would be. But if voter turnout's low and these other candidates are known, which they are, a former coroner and current city councilman, I think it's up for grabs. I wouldn't even call a favorite in that race.
Well, I'm just doing it based on the incumbent usually is the favorite, and I'm going to stand on that. I know that there are people, there aren't very many people that have any chips on their shoulders against any of the three. So I'm just thinking, well, like you said, if the turnout is really low, it depends on what candidate got out and motivated people to go to the polls.
That's right. And I think Dr. Davis and Schauber, not that I'm saying Stuyvesant hasn't, I just haven't talked to him.
Yeah.
But Dr. Davis clearly is knocking on doors because I see more of his signs.
Yeah.
And Jason Schauber, who has ran for city council many times, he's all about knocking on doors.
Well, and his name is probably a little bit better known than Davis, but Davis has a constituency of patients that's got to be pretty big that's going to help him.
Yeah.
And you know they'll vote.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the gubernatorial, both sides are very interesting. And another reason we're doing the coverage next week. And I'm going to start with the Republican side.
Because sure.
Here's what's happening. Mike DeWine is polling, depends on which poll you look at, between 35% and 40%, which is very low in a primary for an incumbent governor.
Yeah, because he's been attacked pretty hard.
Right. But here's the problem. The DeWine vote seems to be about 40%, which means the anti-DeWine vote is about 50%, and then there's about 10% that's undecided.
Yeah.
But the problem is that Renacci and Blystone are splitting that anti-DeWine vote at about 25 apiece,
yeah,
which may get DeWine the primary. If they're both still in it on primary day, I think DeWine gets the primary.
I think they're going to stay with it all the way through to primary day. And that's why I think DeWine is the odds-on favorite. First of all, he's in the office right now, but also because people know him better. Now, people that are voting for Blystone are people that are really mad at such and such. And people that are voting for Renacci are kind of an anti-DeWine group. So, I don't think either one of those guys are going to bail. I think it's going to come right down to DeWine's going to take home the victory with a minority of the vote.
I will say that if either one of them had gotten out or it had only been one,
yep,
if it had just been Blystone DeWine or Renacci DeWine, I think DeWine would lose.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah,
no,
I understand.
Happen, but I believe what that says to me is that if he's only got a 40% approval rating in his own party, he's in big trouble in the main.
Yeah, but I don't think that's something that Nan Whaley should hang her hat on because.
When the general comes, let's move over to the Democratic side.
Okay.
Okay. Have you seen the polls from the Democratic side?
I have not.
Whaley's polling at 23%, Cranley at 19%, 54% of Democrats are still undecided.
That's because nobody knows either one of those people.
Right. So, so people making the assumption that Nan Whaley is going to win this, I think, are way off base.
Well,
she
might. I think that assumption comes from the fact that she's had probably more publicity than the other. And
why then? Why is she only 4 points ahead of Cranley, and 54% still don't know?
I think the reason why she's that close is because nobody knows her. And so they're kind of saying, well, I'm going to vote Democratic. I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for yet.
Right, but now, and I might be wrong about this, but I believe that former Governor Strickland has endorsed Cranley.
Is that right? Now, that would help him, yeah.
Let me see here. I believe, yeah, he has. I think he has endorsed Cranley. Now, if I'm wrong on that, somebody pointed out. And I'll tell you something yesterday. Now, I'm going to say this very tentatively. You can listen to the interview yourself.
Okay.
But the mayor was on yesterday for his monthly appearance, and we got into talking about this. And before the mayor announced he was running for treasurer, mm-hmm. he had backed Nan Whaley. Yesterday, he kind of pulled that back. Now, I don't want to. You'd have to listen to it, but that's pretty well what he said.
Okay. Well,
that
you know,
he is no longer supporting anyone in that primary.
Things happen during races, you know. Maybe Nan pulled on his beard, or I know he doesn't have a beard, or maybe the other. What's the other guy's name running for it?
Cranley.
Yeah, Cranley. Maybe Cranley and he have had some discussions, and he really likes Mr. You know, things change as you go down and get closer to the vote, just because of conversations. And maybe they've had, the mayor has had conversations. Also, maybe the mayor has been told by some state officials, we'd really like to see Cranley win that. You know, it's up
well,
in
the
air.
I think the mayor said, and I'm trying to, this is all from memory, so don't quote me, but I think the mayor said when he made that endorsement, he didn't know Cranley.
Okay.
And now he knows him better,
yeah.
So he's not backing anybody.
Yeah, that would stand to reason. That's, you know, when I was running for office, I had people asking me about this person or that person, and if I didn't know anything about that race that they were in, and quite often it was a local race down in, what's the name of the town south of here that's also in that district? Anyway, if it's somebody I didn't know, I usually said, I probably would vote for the incumbent, but I don't know the other person, and I'd leave it at that. Because you don't always know, especially if you're running for an office that's over a larger district, you don't know everybody. So maybe that's what's happened to Scott. Scott's running for state treasurer, was it? And so he's got a lot of people talking to him about these little local announcements.
I'll tell you something also. The Ohio Democratic Party is not endorsing either one of them.
That doesn't surprise me. I think they do, as a general rule, I think they leave the endorsements till the for other people, unless there is an obvious falling out between the Democratic Party and the person who's running. I don't think they do normally endorse people.
Somebody call in. I'd like to see if I can hear the phone call, but any opinion on any of this election stuff or the Susan Flannery interview? And we had Joe Knopp on this morning, who was Jim Renacci's running mate.
Okay.
Tara Dyer was on, who's the new school board member for Marion City School. She got appointed by Judge Fregali on Monday.
Love her. She'll do a great job. She's a former teacher. Yeah,
she had a lot to say this morning that I thought was very interesting. And yesterday we had Renacci and the mayor on. So a lot of news in the last 2 days.
Yeah, and it's going to get more and more as we get closer. What is Election Day, the 3rd?
The 3rd. Yeah. Well, isn't it also interesting that Trump, who was in Delaware on Saturday, drew a big crowd but did not endorse anybody in the governor's race?
No, that's what I thought, and then my wife said, no, that's not right. So she looked it up, and she said he did endorse J.D. or
The Senate race, yes, yeah. But not the governor's race.
Oh, yeah, I thought he had not endorsed anybody, and my wife corrected me on that one. Yeah, that's interesting because, he probably doesn't know any of them very well. Matter of fact, I'm not sure he knows anybody very well.
Well, Knopf this morning said that he had done videos for Trump and that Laura Trump introduced him to Renacci.
Is that right? That's interesting.
So why did Trump not endorse Renacci?
That's kind of interesting. Maybe there hasn't been enough grease in the handshake yet.
Well, I'll tell you this. I endorsements don't seem to mean much anymore.
Nah.
But I was looking at a poll, and polls are what they are. But in Ohio, in the Republican Party, a poll was taken that if Trump endorses a Republican in Ohio, Republicans are 54.9% more likely to vote for that person.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it disappoints me, but it doesn't surprise me.
But that wins you the race.
Yeah,
so if Renee
sure
has gotten the nod, I do think people would have forgotten Blystone, and he possibly could defeat DeWine. So I don't know. And you know what? He did endorse Vance, and Vance is not leading in that race. Josh Mandel is.
Yeah, and that's kind of surprising to me because Mandel had been actually criticized by a lot of Republicans for his positions. So I'm surprised, but anyway.
Is that phone ringing yet? 740-383-9944.
Is my phone supposed to ring or your phone?
Your phone's supposed to be ringing.
Okay.
740-383-9944.
Everybody's listening. They're more interested in you and me.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you listen to that Renacci interview yesterday, he did not say anything negative about President Trump, but it's just my opinion. He was a little sore, I felt, about not getting the endorsement.
I would say I would be if I were him. Not that I don't know. I'm sure he thought he would get endorsed, but who knows? He needs to get in touch with Donnie Jr. or Ivanka or somebody outside of the former president and have them twist some arm there. I don't know. Kind of scary, this next two-year election thing. The 22 and the 24 elections are kind of scary, and a lot depends on them.
You know, I just don't know. I just I find it fascinating because, to be honest with you, I really have no strong opinion on any of these. The gubernatorial Democratic race, the Senate race, the gubernatorial Republican race.
You are going to vote, though, aren't you?
Do what?
You are going to vote, though, I assume.
No. I'll tell you an interesting thing.
No. Okay.
I do not vote in primaries.
In primaries? Okay.
Because you have to identify a party.
Yeah.
And I will not do that in public.
Okay. All right. That's a
because
good point.
Because then people think that you're slanted.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Now, I've always voted in the main. I'll do that. And I always vote in every other election, but I will never vote in a primary because you do have to identify a party.
Yep. You do. And that's something a lot of people have talked about doing away with and just making it an open primary. But that makes it pretty difficult because does that mean you can vote in both Republican and Democratic primaries, or do you have to kind of select that? That would be difficult, but I think there are states that have worked it out. I'm not sure of that, but I'm going to have to look that up.
Well, I just find that very, very serious that people don't know my political beliefs.
Yeah.
Now, I will handicap a race. I'll give you my opinion on something like who do I think is going to win, but that's not necessarily who I would vote for. So knowing that I will not vote in this primary because you do have to declare a party, really, none of these people are going to get my vote because I'm not voting.
Yeah, well, that makes it easy, doesn't it?
So it's real easy for me to tell you who I think's going to win.
I think one of the reasons, being an old guy, my folks voted in every election, primary or general, of their entire lives. And that was kind of pounded into my head that you will vote every election. And I would have a hard time not voting. But I don't care that people know I'm a Democrat. If they don't know I'm a Democrat by now, they haven't listened to anything on the radio. Well, right.
And to be honest with you, I don't think anybody else on this station hides their political
leanings.
I don't think so. I think they should vote. And I really don't like the fact that I can't vote in it. But I know that there are people who work there who you have to identify. You have to say, this is what I am. And
And people would hold that against you for sure from the other side. Yeah.
That. So, you know, I that's why I don't do it.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but I understand your logic, and I think it's pretty good logic. I wonder if there are any, let's say, national dignitaries, you know, national people that do not vote in the primary so that nobody finds out which party they support.
I think most news people do. Legitimate news people.
They avoid voting in the primary?
I believe, yeah. I heard, you know, like the Tom Brokaws and the Peter Jennings and the Dan Rathers and that Walter Cronkite.
I think that's a good idea. I hadn't even thought of that. I'm not, you know, you learn something every day. And that's a good thing to learn. Now I know. So
that's that. And the new school board member being Tara Dyer, that's interesting, but it's also interesting that it had to go to Judge Fregali.
Yeah, it is.
Which apparently that's the first time in the history of Marion City Schools that a board member had to be chosen by a judge
now,
because the other board members couldn't come together.
Now, is that judge known to have been appointed by a Republican or a Democrat?
You know, honestly, I don't know about Judge Fregali.
Yeah, I know who he is. I never thought about that. And that's probably a good thing that's called a, what is it called? When I ran for trustee, it's the same thing, where you don't declare what party you're running for. Nonpartisan. It's called a nonpartisan position. I imagine all judges are nonpartisan.
While this is on the top of my head, because
sure.
I did hear the beginning of your show with Dr. Feynman last week.
Okay.
Let him know I'm not dying. I'm okay. It seems like the beginning of the show every week is my health becomes the topic.
Well,
and I'm fine. It's okay.
I did tell him that. I said, you're fine. You just have a few medical issues that keep you away from other people.
That's it. That's all that's going on. Yeah. And I think I'll be back probably in late June. This will all be behind me by that point. And that'll be that.
Now, you know my situation.
I do.
And so I may have a similar problem, but we'll talk about that later.
Let me tell you this. This is the best advice I can give. And you know what? I am not somebody who thinks of divine intervention and all that. I don't. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't know what I think. But here's what I do think.
Okay.
I think that I got this because I'm able to tell people it's okay. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
You get through it. It's okay. You can continue on doing what you need to do. Some days you don't, because things are going on, but it is not horrible. It's doable.
Yep.
And if anything else, if that's one thing that I'm able to do to say, hey, if I can get through it, you can get through it, and here I am in the middle of it, and I'm doing a radio show, it's okay.
We do have a phone call. Let's go to the phone, okay?
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, on this voting in the primary.
Yeah.
What Scott's attitude, the way he's not going to vote, is why they stick all these levies, tax levies, on the primary, because then they don't have as many people voting. And
what do you think of that, Scott? Is that true?
Well, I'll tell you this. Here, an interesting point. When River Valley had a tax levy and there were no political candidates on the ballot, I did vote in that primary.
Oh, did you? Interesting.
Yeah, because you don't have to declare a party to vote in for a school levy.
I got you.
Well, that's what's happening this time. With I think there's an MRDD levy on.
Okay.
And if nobody votes because they have to declare a party. But you just walk up and you say, I want to vote on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say I'm an independent or I'm a Republican or a Democrat. Just say I want to vote on the issues.
You're allowed to do that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, but they may write down you're an independent, but you're not telling anybody you're an independent.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Did you know that, Scott?
That's a good bit of knowledge.
I didn't know that at all, yeah. Hey, thank you very much for the call. That's very good information.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. Yeah, I'd never heard that before.
No, every time I've ever went in, anytime there was a political candidate on the ballot, because they give you the full ballot, and they either give you the Republican one or the Democrat one. Now, the levies are on both, but they have to give you that ballot. I didn't know there was a ballot that just had issues on it.
Maybe it's an independent, maybe? Maybe there's an independent ballot that doesn't have people on it.
But, now see, here's the tricky thing, because you do have to register as something. Do you have to be registered as an independent?
That's a
good
question.
See, I don't really understand that. Do you declare on the day you go, or is it what you're registered as?
That's interesting. And maybe we have somebody out there listening that knows the answer to that. We
I don't know that. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz.
Yeah, and if you call after the next 2 or 3 minutes, you can wait for 15 and then call in the next segment, because that's an interesting... Well, I'd like to hear the answer to that. That's a good question.
We're blowing through this hour.
Yeah, I know we are. Well, you had your guest on about an extra 5 minutes, so...
I knew you'd point that out.
I love it. I love it. That meant I had to work less.
Well, I did, in the 90 seconds we have left, talking about not being in and having this little bit of a hiccup in my life.
Yeah.
The cards that people have sent them, and I say this all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it until I'm done, because it continues. I came to the office on Monday when nobody was there, and there were more cards there for me.
And there's one there right now. One right now.
Yeah, there's one right now.
Yep.
So I cannot thank everybody enough. The cards and the letters that people have handwritten out, and the messages that people have sent me, and the people who've called who I would not see otherwise, and the people who, you know, will I see all the time, and they always say, well, how you doing?
Yeah.
That's very, very, very touching. And when I went to Tony Danza this past weekend, when I walked up the aisle to just go to the facilities, I ran into 7, 8, 10 people who just wanted to know how I was doing.
Good.
And thank you to all those people.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Well, we've only got about 20 seconds left to go, so I guess we ought to say tune us back on in about 15 minutes, or leave it on and listen to the weather and the news and that sort of thing, right?
And we'll figure out something to talk about.
All right.
Next hour, we'll get into something of high interest. We're down to the 10-second mark.
Yeah.
I feel like we're counting down the new year.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back, so stay tuned, all right? Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes. Methinks I am a prophet new inspired, and thus aspiring to foretell of him. His rash fair blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means soon preys upon the self. And go on and on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retained the dialogue.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences, Fyvesh Finkel.
Hey, if I were a rich man, he-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- man. I wouldn't have away cards. If I were a bitty bitty rich, I did man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. I don't want to sing anymore. I'm going to pay me.
I love it, Five-ish.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like.
Yo.